Today's word comes from Genesis chapter 16, verse 7 through 16. Genesis chapter 16, verse 7 through 16. I will read it to you. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was a spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. And the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me," for she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old, and when Hagar bore him Ishmael. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. With the sermon title, Experiencing God, I would like to share God's grace with you. I don't know if you remember, but as I start this series, we're looking into the life of Abraham with the main theme of faith. And just as Deacon Joshua prayed today, you know, so many things are given to us, but it seems like our faith are often shaken, and sometimes we fail, we fall. But through this sermon, other than a guest speaker, we will be looking into the life of Abraham as we walk with him, with the Word of God, with the life of Abraham. I would like us to evaluate our life of faith and hopefully pray that all of our faith grow as we dive into his Word every Sunday. We saw in the beginning of chapter 16 that Sarai told Abraham to sleep with her servant Hagar to obtain children. And as a result, Hagar was conceived. But Hagar started to despise her master Sarai, and Sarai blames on Abraham. And Sarai abused Hagar, and Hagar fled from Sarai. That was a story on the beginning of chapter 16. But if you see, Hagar fled from Sarai not because she had somewhere to go. She just left without knowing where to go because the abuse was so severe. Hagar was an Egyptian, so she thought that she had to go back to Egypt. So she was walking toward Egypt and landed by a spring water in the wilderness. And in this place, with a feeling of loneliness, unfairness, fearfulness, and uncertainty, Hagar is having a precious experience. She meets God. This may sound like a superstitious question, but have you ever met God? There are many ways God reveals himself to us. He shows himself through vision, dream, prayer, but most importantly, through the Bible. The Word of God is God, and it is the book about revelation of God. Maybe there are churchgoers who have never met God. Or maybe we see him so often that we see him like we're seeing our neighbors. So we just simply say hi and bye. And if you become close to them, maybe have a dinner once in a while. No deep conversation, but simply a casual hangout. So how do you feel when you hear Hagar met God? So I said, oh, Hagar meets God. How do you feel? Okay, that's good for her. Oh, really? You know, we should feel envious. We should feel jealous. You know, of course, in a good way. Meaning it should lead us to have some kind of eagerness to make me want to meet him too. You know, we all live a busy life. It's not even easy to meet up with our families and close friends. My parents live in New York, Queens area. But it's not that far. But I don't really get to see him often. Because we all have a busy schedule and busy life, and it's really hard to meet up with even our families, parents, friends. But in the midst of busy life, One meeting that we can't or shouldn't miss is the meeting with God. Not simply saying hi and bye, but having more meaningful time with Him. We can always meet God in times of troubles, times of happiness, and even in the times when we do not have strength or faith to come to Him. It's because God finds us, hears us, and sees us wherever we are and whatever we do. And this is what I want to talk about today. In this time of uncertainty, suffering, and loneliness, Hagar meets God. Sometimes we become spiritually dry, lose passion, discouraged, so that it makes us hard to find Him, or sometimes don't even feel like finding Him. Maybe this is what Hagar was experiencing. But what's interesting here is that it's not Hagar who comes to God, but it is God who comes to Hagar. And I want to call this grace. So I want to see what kind of God Hagar is experiencing in today's passage. First, she experiences God who finds. Verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was a spring that is beside the road to Shur." God meets Hagar on the way to Shur. The way to Shur is a shortcut to Egypt. There's something that this implies, which I found it was interesting. Hagar left Egypt, right? Which is an idol-worshipping country. And she became a worshiper of God in Abram's family. But when Hagar sinned for despising her own master Sarai, and she lost her faith, she left the place of worship, which is the Abram's house, and she immediately went back to the old life in Egypt, which is the place of sin. And she did it without any hesitation. Of course, we understand her situation. The abuse was severe, and maybe she had no other choice but to leave. But this is the natural tendency of humans' sinfulness and humans' weakness. We tend to hide from God when we do something wrong, just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And we tend to run away from God when it's hard to accept the situation that we are facing, just like Jonah. And as a consequence, what she is experiencing here is being lost in the wilderness. She left the presence of God, and what she faces is the uncertainty, fear, and disappointment. Likewise, if we leave God and leave the place or life of worship, we will also feel lost and face uncertainty in our lives. But when Hagar feels lost, uncertain, and seems like she has lost everything, God intervenes in her life. God came to Hagar in the form of an angel to comfort her and to help her. After Adam and Eve, in relations to God and human, sinners do not look for God, but it is God of mercy who looks for sinners. So God comes to sinners and save them and guide their path. So that being said, God finds Hagar, who is lost, and asks her in verse 8. It says, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" But listen to Hagar's response. She said, "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai." But listen to their conversation. God asked her, "Where are you going and where are you from?" Right? But Hagar's answer doesn't seem like she's answering to God's question. But rather, we can see that she's lost with no hope and no plan whatsoever. She's troubled. You know, there may be a time when we are shaken by the problems. There may be a time when we feel like we have lost everything. There may be a time when we feel like there's nothing I can do. But during this time, there is something that God can do. God of mercy finds us when we are lost, and He comforts us and guides our path. So God gives a solution to Hagar in verse 9. It says, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." Go back to your mistress and submit to her. You know, this is exactly what Hagar had to do. Because who is Hagar? She's a servant. Hagar is a servant, and Sarah is a master. So Hagar's responsibility is to submit to her master and serve her and be with her, because that was a law during that time. And when she does that, she can find certainty and security. You know, this tells us the importance of knowing who we are and what we have to do. But what does parents have to do? They have to work hard to bring financial security to family and look over the family, make sure everything runs smoothly. What does students have to do? Have to study hard. What does doctors have to do? They have to work hard to heal people. What does a cook, the chef, has to do? Work hard to make good food. I don't think there's any singles, but what does singles have to do? Work hard. One more for you. Find your spouse. You know, if we do not do what we have to do, then conflicts arise. Then as a Christian and as a children of God, what do we have to do? We have to glorify Him in whatever we do and accomplish the mission that God has given us, which is to proclaim the gospel we have found in Jesus Christ. And as a children of God, we have to dwell in His presence. If we lose who we are, and if we lose what we have to do in Christ, our lives will seem uncertain, insecure, and unsatisfied. But even when we are lost, God of mercy comes and finds us to turn our direction back to Him and show us the right path, just as God did to Hagar. So we must not deviate from His teaching to follow the world, but stay in the presence of God to follow Jesus into the world and live to glorify Him as a true Christian. Secondly, she experiences God who hears. Take a look at verse 11. It says, "And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'You are now with child, and you will have a son. You will name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery.'" The angel of the Lord told Hagar that she will bear a son and told her to name him Ishmael, which means the Lord has heard. What did God hear? The Lord heard Hagar's misery, meaning not only God heard her cries, but also her internal struggles. No one was willing to hear how severe the abuse was, and they simply ignore Hagar and they just kicked her out. But God found her, and God listened to Hagar. To Hagar, who was abandoned and alienated, this was God's comfort, encouragement, and love. It presents fundamental solution to the problem of life that every human being has to go through. You know, sometimes the problem we face are so severe that we don't even have strength to pray. Sometimes when we pray, prayer doesn't come out. And even we pray, everything from our mouth is complaint to God. Why is this happening to me? Why you don't give me this or that? Why you don't answer my prayer? But what we must remember is that God, who heard Hagar's affliction, also hears every one of our cries. No one may understand our sorrows, nor hear our pain, but God is hearing our groans of pain. Just as God listened to Hagar, God will listen to those who cry out to God and remember our prayer. Exodus chapter 6, verse 5 says like this, "Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant." What a comforting word. I have remembered my covenant. If we believe this, then what do we have to do? We must cry out and pray to God whenever there are difficulties or pain in our lives. And this is what He promises. Psalms 91, 15 says, "When He calls to me, I will answer Him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him." Sometimes we may feel like God is not listening to our prayer, We may feel like God's answer is being delayed for a long time. But it's not because God is not listening to our prayers, but He's waiting on His time. He hears our prayers, remember our prayers, but He waits to give it to us at His perfect time. So we must believe this, and we must not give up or doubt about God's promise, but patiently ask for help and wait for Him to work. God hears those who cry out to Him in the sanctuary, but also God hears those who are out in the world, workplaces, homes, and wherever we find Him. God is not only interested in Abraham or Sarai, but in Hagar too. God is not only interested in those who are spiritually healthy and those who seem faithful, but God is also interested in those who have failed, those who are crying, and those who feel abandoned and lost. God did not only love believers, but God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to save those who are lost in the world and waiting for them to come back to Him. This is the reason why we must reach out to the unreached people and proclaim the good news, because our God is finding those who are lost, and He listens to their cries and pains just as He hears our cries. Thirdly, she experiences God who sees. Verse 13 says, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me," for she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." Hagar has experienced God who finds and God who hears. And she is confessing here that God is God who sees. Seeing here means taking care. Taking care. As Hagar confessed, God was watching over all her troubles and circumstances. It is proven by the fact that the angel of God appeared when Hagar was in a desperate situation. The fact that God examined Hagar's situation and circumstances here indicates that she was precious to God, and God had the will to help and protect her. Then why did God think Hagar was precious? Was there anything she did to deserve such special treatment from God? The answer is no. There's no merit for Hagar to receive such special treatment from God. Actually, Hagar was not the one who received the promise, and she's just an Egyptian and a servant who despised her own master. But there's one reason why God made Hagar worthy, and that is because she was pregnant with Abraham's seed. God made covenant with Abraham that God will bless Abraham and bless his children to be a great nation. So although Hagar is not the covenant's heir, she was conceiving of the seed of Abraham who had received God's covenant. So that is why God regarded her dearly. This is similar to how God regards us dearly too. In fact, there is no reason for God to regard us dearly if He only sees human conditions. We were sinners, and we were the servant of sin, and we still sin. Nonetheless, God is helping and protecting us by dearly admiring and observing us. And why is this? It is not because we deserve such special treatment. It's not because we are worthy to receive some kind of a special treatment from Him, but because in us there is Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the Covenant of God. Then think about it. If God considered Hagar to be esteemed and appraised only because she conceived of Abraham's descendants who received God's covenant, and how much more will God consider us when we have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the true heir of the covenant in our hearts? As long as we have Jesus Christ in our hearts, God will see us, protect us, and help us in times of troubles. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12 says, "And this is a testimony that God gave us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. There are times we feel desperate when we face a problem that we cannot solve. Health issues, financial issues, relationship issues, career issues, so many other issues. And sometimes you may feel like God is not answering. God is not answering our prayers and feel like he has abandoned us. And we doubt about his presence, power, wisdom, his promise, and we grumble against God. But we must always remember that God will never abandon his chosen people. Not only he does not abandon us, but he will examine every one of our situations when you are in good times and bad times and provide whatever we need. But sometimes he simply leaves us alone in the midst of suffering to train us and to strengthen our faith. So whenever you face problem or situation that seems impossible to get through, rather than complaining against God, but faithfully trust God's guidance and protection and eagerly cry out to God, just as what Psalmist did in Psalms chapter 31, verse 16. He says, "May your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love." And when you do so, God will save you and comfort you with this promise he made in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Amen. Amen. I'd like to conclude my message. Hagar did not know where she's from. And Hagar did not know where she's going to when she met the angel of the Lord. Maybe she only cared about eating well and living well in this world. She lived with no specific purpose and no clear direction in her life. But God came to this Hagar, met her, and present the direction of her life. Hagar was so happy to meet God who looks after her and named the well Beer Laharoi, which means the well of the survivor that sees me. And after Hagar experiences God who finds, God who hears, and God who sees, she was saved. She was saved from her problems. She gained confidence and found the purpose and direction of her life. And she goes back to Sarai and bore a son, Ishmael, for Abraham. Verse 14 and 15 says this, "That was why the well was called Beer Laharoi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abraham a son, and Abraham gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born." Now, if you see the marathoners, all runners run for rewards, and they run for a specific purpose. And likewise, we are running the race of faith. Then what do you live for, and where are you running to? Are you running towards the finish line in heaven? Are you running with purpose, specific purpose, to glorify God? Or are you running towards a way to self-indulgence and self-desire? I want you to think about these questions seriously. What was the way I lived so far? And how should I live my life in the future? Maybe God's saying, return, go back to your mistress, to Hagar, is something that he may be saying to us. There may be many areas in our lives that we may have to turn ourselves back to God. When Hagar returned, the situation did not change, but her heart was changed. She returned to Sarai by trusting and relying on God, and she returned with assurance, peace, and joy that she found in God. And she had this assurance that God is with her. And she found her identity in God, came back, and accomplished her mission. Likewise, this change should happen in our lives. As we live in this world, We must fix our eyes on God and get into a right relationship with God and experience Him more deeply. We must find our identity in God, know who we really are, and know what missions we have in this world. And remember what kind of grace we have received from Him. And this can be done when we meet Him and when we experience Him deeply. So brothers and sisters, if there's anyone who feels lost, who feels lonely, who feels uncertain about your situation, and who feels like you're on the edge of the cliff, don't look at your situation or don't even look at yourself, but look to God. Look to God who finds, God who hears, God who sees. Then God will find you, hear your cries, and rescue you from all the problems in your life. May you find Him through today's worship and every day of your life, and experience Him more deeply as we share the communion together. Let's pray. Lord gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for blessing us with Your words. We thank You for seeing Your faithfulness through Your servant Hagar. And just as You have found her, just as You have seen her, heard her, we pray that You will watch over our lives. Pray that You will meet us through today's worship and every day of our life. As we share the communion together, may You prepare our hearts and help us to remember Your grace and experience Your presence and Your grace more deeply as we share the communion together. We thank You, we love You, pray this in Jesus' name.